Hello and welcome to this week's Choosing Happy podcast. It's the 60th episode, so this one's a bit of a reminiscence and also real appreciation for all of the guests I've had over the last 2 years. It's been a journey and a half for me, and to begin with, I want to share some of the big lessons that I've taken from the last 2 years of podcasting and presenting the Choosing Happy podcast. Hello and welcome to the Choosing Happy podcast. I'm Heather Masters and this is the 60th episode. So the way that this one will work is I will include snippets of some real powerful interviews from everyone, from Sue Knight to James Wedmore to Andrew and Pete from Atomic, and some other amazing authors and guests that I've spoken to over the last 2 years, and their take on happiness and what we can use to stay motivated, to stay in our own power during some very chaotic times that we've had over the last 2 years and don't seem to be getting any less, shall we say. First of all, I want to start by asking you to like and subscribe, and that'll really help me keep going with the podcast. It's something I feel drawn to do, not because I think I'm a brilliant podcaster, but I think there are some valuable messages to be had at this time when the world is chaotic and a lot of us are struggling, not just in finance or in our work, but mentally holding on to hope when the world is in extreme chaos and there are wars and lots of dark things out there. And this is really about encouraging you to focus on happy, focus on the joy of the moment, to forget the past, to forget creating the future in a way that we're worrying and stressing and being anxious about what hasn't happened yet, and just taking a moment to be present and to know that in this current moment, that's where joy and aliveness is found. And if we focus on that, that's the positive light future we hope to create. And I wanted to start by really reflecting over the last 2 years on my journey through the Choosing Happy podcast. I began it because I found myself very isolated and alone during the COVID lockdowns, and I wanted to support other entrepreneurs and business owners who may be in the same position, from not just training and help with their business, but also from a mental support aspect and exploring. I got really curious about different people's takes on happiness and what happiness means to individuals and how they come to create their ideal work, their ideal business, their ideal life, and really settle into happiness as they perceive it to be. And that's what a lot of the interviews have been about, in addition to what it takes to succeed in your business, especially through chaotic times and especially through financial downturns and anything that comes your way, because it's not just the world stage that stops us. Most often it's our own internal dialogue, it's our thoughts, it's our beliefs, it's how we identify with the world at the moment and how we show up and how we identify with ourselves as entrepreneurs, whether we see ourselves as successful, whether we see ourselves as blocked, as challenged, or whether we're able to show up. For me especially, the whole idea of this podcast was me showing up. I live in a village in the middle of nowhere, and I can go a whole fortnight without seeing another person. So I really get where the isolation, especially as an entrepreneur, comes up, because you're not going to an office, you're not engaging with other people every day necessarily, unless you really are showing up and engaging on social media. But that, again, isn't engaging physically, isn't always about having those conversations and having that support that you need when you're on your own and isolated. You know, if you have an idea, it's really good to be able to just bounce ideas off people. And that's not always possible if you're on your own. And that's, for me, is where I struggled and needed the support. And I thought, well, I can't be the only one. So the idea was that this podcast would give that a little bit of support to those out there who are looking for ways to stay resilient, to find happiness in the journey and in the process, rather than being attached to an end result. And my journey, as I say, was one from being very insular, hiding away, and choosing to do a podcast mainly because I wasn't brave enough to do video. Audio suited me. And I was also very curious. It gave me a way to connect with people, to interview people, to learn from others, and to apply different techniques to my life as well. I had a huge routine that supported me in choosing happy every day and keeping my spirits up, in focusing on the purpose for the day and less on all of the negative stuff that I could have got into about being alone and being isolated and not speaking to people or all of that good stuff. I could have gone down the victim route, but it's about acknowledging where I am, acknowledging what I can do about it, and how I can show up and engage and help others, both technically in their businesses, but also in their lives. And one of the biggest shifts for me has been to really embrace my spirituality, embrace my divinity and creator part that all of us have, that we have that internal spark of divinity that is our life force. And our ability to connect to that and to know that we are never alone. We're always supported. And with that comes great responsibility and great choice in terms of free will, and not just how we show up, but every choice that we make, every thought that we choose, every thought that we hold onto or give energy to creates our reality. And it's a challenge to choose those right thoughts, to become that neutral observer and choose the thoughts that are going to serve you. It has to be a habit that we create. It's a practice. Like everything else, it's about changing that muscle memory so we move away from the negative thoughts that have been playing potentially for years, and we begin to embed a new way of thinking, a new focus, a new awareness, a new understanding of our own power and our own divinity. That's what this journey has been for me. It's been a huge exploration of what happiness really means and moving it to that level of being absolutely aligned with the Creator in flow, whatever flow means for you, and following inspiration and guidance and moving away from logic, which I have really struggled to do. And if you've been listening to my podcasts over the last few weeks, you'll know I have been taking African drumming lessons. And the whole purpose of that was to get away from my logical brain. You can't play a drum fast and think about it, because you just make mistakes. It's that muscle memory, that allowing the unconscious and the body to know what it's doing. And that's what we should practice, in my opinion. That's what I should practice more of in my everyday life. Going with the flow, taking the action on the inspiration, and knowing that it's all going to work out well because of that. So without any further ado, what I'm hoping to achieve in the future is to grow the podcast, have some really inspiring and challenging guests to really begin to step into spirituality and connection, because I think personally that's the way humanity is meant to go, to tune back into what's really important, the small things, the responsibility for our own life, our own happiness, and through our connection with whatever we call the creator, the universe, source, whatever you call it, but to actually recognize that it's that connection, that breath in our body, that spark of life that flows through us that is most important. And it's about finding the joy, the higher vibration, and looking away from the darkness, looking away from the deep shadows, acknowledging they're there, doing what we can to shift it. But often the easiest way to shift things is to focus on what we want, focus on the fundamentals, the joy of life, the power of being, and understanding that we are so much more than we have been taught, that we have such power to create, that that's what the government and all of the organizations don't really want you to know, because if you knew how powerful you are, they wouldn't be in power. Anyway, our next section is the review of the last 2 years and the 60 episodes, with some of the excerpts from some of my favourite guests over the year. I'll try and include as many as possible, and I do hope you enjoy, and please help me maintain this podcast by liking, subscribing, and sharing with anyone you think might find this of benefit. Enjoy the rest of the show with the look back at the last 60 episodes. I'm Heather Masters, and thank you for taking the time to listen today. This is the Choosing Happy podcast.
Then for the past few years, I would say as well, like, the membership has gone past just being about marketing and sales, and it's gone more into like, what does it actually take to grow a business? Because I think over the past few years, we've definitely learned, yeah, tactics and strategies are great. It's often not enough. It's like, there's way more things that go on behind the scenes that cause businesses to be successful or not successful, including things like motivation, organization, being able to sell, being confident enough to grow your team. And I think podcasts like this are great because it is about like being happy, and choosing what makes you happy is a massive kind of factor in a successful business.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I really want to hone in when I do this podcast as well is the resilience that it takes and how you can stay resilient as well.
Yeah, yes. I love that.
I think it's so important because I think we're all sold this dream that running a business is going to be easy. And every single advert out there, or every single marketer at least, you know, is always trying to sell the dream because that's what sells. Like, they don't want to sell it. Hey, this is going to be really hard work. But if you push really hard and do all this stuff that, you know, you need to do, that's potentially really scary, then you'll have success. But that's not a good advert. So, yeah. You know, naturally, everything you see as an entrepreneur is, hey, this is really easy. And hey, you should feel bad if you haven't made like 10K a month yet or whatever. And it's all built into that. And when members come and talk to us and, you know, they're struggling, I think people often give up because they think they're not good enough. Whereas in actual fact, I think it's just that the expectations have been set that it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
And they're not good enough because they haven't found it easy. And I think that's a really, really important message that people need to hear. they're not doing bad at all. In fact, what's really funny is that when we first set up in business, we were making like zero money, like we were making nothing. And a lot of our members are like, hey, I'm doing really badly. I'm making this much a month and so forth. And we're like, hey, you're doing better than us. Like, here's our accounts from like 2015 or 2013 or whatever. And you're 2 years in. This is where we were at 2 years in. You're doing way better than us. Like, good on you. Just keep it up, you know, keep improving. And I think that's really important.
Okay, so we're at number two. So we're on to number three, which is, you feel your thoughts and ideas are insignificant. So this one is around the idea that you have these, whenever you have a thought or whenever you have something that you think, oh, I could talk about that, but then you have this next thought of, but why does it matter? Why would anyone care anyway? And it's around your self-confidence, and it makes you second guess your worth, and that it sharing your ideas and knowledge is just kind of pointless, and maybe thinking that in some way. So maybe you've drafted out a blog post, or you've gone to post something on social media, wrote it out multiple times, gone back and forth with it, and you're just about to publish it, the blog, or press post, and then you've just thought, why, what is the point? Like, no one's even going to care, so I'm not going to bother. And this becomes, this one of those that just holds you back in that way that you just think you're a quiet voice in this louder world that isn't going to make any difference, so why should I even try? And that's often a big struggle for those of us who are quieter as well, specifically, I think, where we've been in this world where we've often kept our thoughts to ourselves. We're more inward focused and internalize our thoughts a lot more. And when we put them out there, we're just like, well, who's going to care? Like, there's always someone else saying these things anyway. So that's another one.
Yeah, it's the someone else saying these things much better than I can is usually the bit that I add on to that. And what I realized was that I have been very lucky in terms of my training in NLP, my training in online marketing, that I've worked with and learned from the world-class leaders. So I qualified as a trainer of NLP with Tad James, who was one of the first master trainers in the world of NLP. And I, in terms of online marketing, I first learned from Brendan Burchard when he really, way back in the day when he first started Experts Academy, and went on to learn from a guy called Mike Klinger, who's was really high in the space at the time as well. And now with Atomic and with James Wedmore as well. And these are all masters at what they do. And there's that comparison then, you know, should I put this out there? Because it's like, no way is it anywhere near the quality that these guys are doing. But then you have to realize that quality and mastery is that 10,000 hours, and they've done theirs, and I'm at the beginning. So yeah, that was always a big one.
Yeah, it's kind of feeling like it's often comparing and comparison, but feeling like you're a drop in this massive ocean that you just can't be the one heard anyway. So why should I even bother? And it's an interesting one, and it's slightly different to number five, which I'll get into shortly, because that's more around the feeling that you're not the right person. But this one's just not feeling that you matter at all. So you just think, I shouldn't even speak on this because what does it matter? And yeah, it's very interesting. But like you say, it's all a journey, and you can't even compare yourself to someone who's been doing it a year more than you, because every journey is different and every person has different things that happen and in their lives experiences that can influence all of it. So when you see these people saying, if you follow my step-by-step process, you'll become rich like me. And I'm just like, even if you followed every single thing they did, it's not going to be the same outcome, because the smallest variable could be that they have no children and you have children, for instance, would make everything different.
For reflection, for growth, for healing, for introspection, for whatever they need. And that's happening in a beautiful, beautiful way. And I share this because no matter what's going on around us, it's always within our choice to choose to find the good, to find the well-being, to find happiness, to find gratitude.
Yeah.
Always, no matter what.
Absolutely.
And so the way I look at it, and of course, I know you agree, that's beautiful, is the way I look at it, like metaphorically, is it's like a tornado and you're in the center of it, or a hurricane or whatever. But sometimes it feels like that. It's like everything around you can be going nuts. Relationships, the economy, the government, the news, and you can be that calm center. It's so easy, though, to get hooked by any one of those things and get caught up in the tornado.
Yeah.
And to find that equilibrium, that balance, to just be that center, to realize that nothing is more important than your well-being. Nothing. And what's at the top of your well-being? Happiness. So nothing is more important than you choosing happiness. Why is nothing more important than that? You could sit there and say, no, your family's more important. No, giving back is more important. Your loved ones, your kids. No, because you cannot give what you don't have. And it always begins with you. You cannot give what you don't have. And when you don't have that happiness inside of you, you can't be stressed, scared, broke, or sick enough to transform someone else's life. But when you can be in your center, when you can choose happiness, that is the opportunity to give that to somebody else, to pass that on to someone else. And that's why your well-being is always the most important.
Yeah.
I went off on a little tangent, but that's what happiness means to me.
We managed to connect with higher levels of the subconscious that some could call the oversoul, the higher self, or universe, or the universal mind, that seems to be wiser. It's always guiding us through our feelings. And I understood from that point that it's not just a case of going from negative to positive to help us feel better, to be happy. It's actually embracing a larger lens. And if we can take a broader scope on what's going on and get a deeper understanding of why we're here, what we're here for, our purpose, I can get many people's questions answered in that session. So that's been really interesting. I've been facilitating the QHHT for about 10 years now, but hypnotherapy and NLP since 2004 until now to this day. And all the real change really is, we either have a short version or a long version of change. And the same change can happen through whichever door someone comes through. But I tend to say to people, choose the session that you feel most drawn to. And so my knowledge has evolved through the years as well with all of these different methods. And I realized early on that the narrative we repeat, whether that's inside our own heads or from the outside in our environment, including the media, influence our beliefs, affect how we feel. And beliefs feel real, but they're not. They can change. So it's facts that tend to stay the same. but all energy shifts and moves. However, it's my belief that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. I'm sure we've all heard that saying, and that we're meant to learn, evolve, and evolve from our experiences. Focus has a direct impact on our feelings, and our feelings affect our actions. Our actions determine our results. However, what we are really talking about here is simply thought. So quite often, the problem is in our thinking. So when it comes to being happy, if we change the way we think, we change the way we feel. When we connect to the space between our thoughts, that is where the real wisdom lies. So whether that be in a meditative space, or usually when we're not busy, that's where ideas can manifest or come into our awareness. And so creativity can channel through, and also our true authenticity can become more familiar to us in that space between thoughts. So I realize we live in a world of overload and overwhelm of information, and it's simply not more of anything that we need. It's probably less. So I had all of this information, all of my clients' information and the stories they bring to session. But I realized that most of us were born with much of what we need as babies. We were born very simple, totally present, joyful, not because of what we had or what we needed. We just had this simple inner joy, peace, bliss, unconditional love. And as I think the shamans have said, we were born like a ray of pure light, and we've walked a long journey away from that truth in a spiral going outwards. And the solution is to come back to the core truth of who we really are when we trust our navigation in terms of walking towards what feels good. We can't go far wrong. So that is always an inside job.
Ice bath training. That's an easy way to think about it. So this is totally the doing hard things. This is why I love this so much, because it's challenging yourself to do this thing. I mean, this is where it came from for me, right? That I always have, for the majority of my life, hated cold water. Being English, British, not cold water with like the beach, unless you live by the beach, not really brought up with that like as a thing. So I was never really that bothered about going. And the sea is really cold in England.
So oh, yeah. I'm in Northumberland. I know.
Okay, yeah, it's really cold there. So when I moved to Australia, it was still the same thing. I wasn't really that interested in doing it. So an ice bath to me was like completely out of the question. Absolutely no way. I'm never going to do that. And then just some weird turn of events that I was at some event and they happened to have one. And I was like, okay, it took a lot of convincing, but I got in it. And afterwards, it was this feeling of this pure elation that I had done this thing that I thought was impossible. I thought I could never, ever do that. And I did it and I survived and it was fine. And then it was like, okay, so now what else can I do? I've done this thing that I thought was never going to happen. It's that's what I like. Every time I put an event on, I always ask if there's any first timers, because it's my favorite thing to see them to get, and then they're so happy at the end, because it is this, it's hard. It's not, it never gets any easier. That beginning bit of being in there, like your body is telling you to out, doing everything it can to like get out of this. This is not fun. But it's staying in there and realizing, oh, you can do it. It does get a bit better. I can do these hard things. What else can I do? It's that there's loads of physical benefits. I don't generally talk about the physical benefits as much, because I really like focusing on the mental side of it. It is building that resilience, doing hard things, seeing what you're capable of, because that just trickles out into all of the rest of your life that you've done this thing. What else can you do?
All the issues, this is what I believe, my opinion, if you like, my belief, and it comes from all the work I've done with people, is that everything that occurs in our lives comes from some kind of belief system that we have. or is created by some kind of belief system that we have. And those beliefs can be this lifetime. They can be come from our parents, our ancestors. They can come from the media, from our culture, watching television. But they also, whether you believe in reincarnation or other lives, doesn't make any difference to my work, because I still get the belief systems can come from other lifetimes, from many, many lifetimes. Because one of the other things that I've discovered is that, I think am I going off on a tangent?
No, keep going. It's okay. Absolutely fine.
One of the things I've discovered for myself is that when I first started doing this, I believed in past lives, you know, like linear lifetimes. But of course, now it's like, there's no way that it's linear. You know, time is a human construct. And when I'm working with the energy of beliefs, time just isn't a factor. So when I'm testing beliefs, because what I use is a simple muscle test, the client uses it, I get them to use the test. So they're testing their beliefs.
Yeah.
And so when I'm asking them to test a belief that I see originates from another lifetime, I say it like, I get them to say it like it's in the present.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, I was, I was a, can't think of what I could say. You know, I was a nun in another lifetime. I take the was out and I say, I am a nun in another lifetime. Because it used to be, when I used to put the was, were in some other life, in some past lifetime, it was never quite there. It was never quite on point. Mm. Now I treat it like it's all happening now, and it's spot on. Yeah. Every time it's spot on. So, so whether that means that all these lifetimes are all happening now or not, I have no idea. But that's my sense of it. It doesn't, when I'm working with the subconscious, it's the subconscious beliefs that I work with, really. In working with them, time just isn't there. It doesn't exist.
So you got the paper back copy out there. Did you have to find a publisher? How did you go about?
No, that was one of, for me, that was another attraction of self-publishing. Sorry, I never covered that. With the publisher, I said that at some point you'll undoubtedly be asked a difficult question of how many books do you want in the initial print run? And of course, I'd had no idea, and I would have said one, which would have increased the cost tremendously, I'm sure. The attraction with self-publishing, particularly with the three companies that I mentioned, is that it's all print on demand. There's no stock. There's no inventory. You don't have any overhead. You publicize your book. Someone will read the summary, think, okay, yeah, I want to buy. So you're moving to France. They hit the purchase. They make the credit card transaction, and effectively a personalized copy is printed and dispatched to them.
All right. I didn't realize that.
That means that has so many advantages. Obviously, you don't have a pile of redundant books of old editions sitting in the corner gathering dust. You don't have to worry about any of that. It's all personalized, it's bound, and it's sent to you within a couple of days. I know that from someone who I was in contact with, and I told them about the book, and they said, it sounds interesting, I'm going to buy it. Then about an hour later, I got a message saying, I've just bought it. And 2 days later, saying, it's just arrived. I've just started reading it. So I know it's a quick process, and it, obviously it's very convenient, certainly from an author's point of view.
And are you still enjoying France? Are you recommending people?
Absolutely. Every time, and it isn't very often, that I go back to England, maybe a couple of times, maybe three times a year. Every time I go back to England, I can't wait to come back to France. I love the fact that it's like England used to be 50 years ago. It's more relaxed. There's no owed undue health and safety. That could be a bad thing, but you're not hidebound by rules. There's a lot of open space, particularly in southwest France. France itself is 4.5 times the size of England, so there's a lot of lot of space. The roads are in much better shape. The way of life is such that it still focuses on villages. During the summer, the villages all have evening markets or fetes at weekends. We just really, really enjoy being here. 7 years on, I can thoroughly recommend it.
So the podcast is called Choosing Happy. Do you feel you found you've chosen happy there?
Absolutely, Heather. Absolutely. I said at some point during my discourse that when I was talking about the mayor, that we drove back to England. This was a couple of weeks after moving in. We chose that deliberately, purely because the house had a fair bit of land with it, and we weren't sure how the our dog would react to that. So I had to make sure that there was adequate fencing, certainly around the house, so he wasn't just going to run off into a strange place. And just on that drive back to England, within 2 weeks of being here, it already felt like home for me, and I completely cut ties with England. Obviously, the children were still there. Joanne and I have 5 between us, so we still see them, and we talk to them on video calls and so on. But France felt like home and still feels very much like home.
And how many books have you got in the process at the moment that you're working on?
So the book that I have coming out is going to be number 15 of the books I have published, but then unpublished, I have, oh gosh, I have to count that. I know how many I've written in total, and I do not know how many are on. I will count that, because there's and there's these two. I have a lot. So I have around, let's see, so if I have 15 published, I think I've written, I'm currently writing number 28 total. So I have, nice. Around 10 to 12 more still in the backlog. Of those, some of them are completed.
Wow. So there are a lot of young people who would like to get their books out there and get them published. What advice would you give them?
Go for it. It sounds like so silly, but seriously, just do it. Because a lot of the time, the big thing that's holding people back is fear. The only way you're going to get over that fear is just to do it and get your book out there and, you are maybe going to get some not nice people, but you're also going to have, at least one person's going to read it and hopefully think it's their favorite book. And just remembering that like, someone out there needs this book, yeah. And then, like there's someone who's going to really read this book and just love it. And it's not going to matter if anyone dislikes it because there's someone who's like needed to read this book.
And did you have I was going to say it's obviously, but that's not necessarily true. Did you have a lot of support from your parents in this whole process as well?
Yeah, I did.
Can you say a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. for the most part, it's like I didn't need help as much as I just needed that like motivation. Like, early on when I was writing that first book, I was like, am I a good writer? I don't know if I can do this. And my parents are just like, yeah, of course you can. And that was really important. And that was very much what I needed because I would just be so afraid, but just someone telling you like, it's going to be okay is so important.
Would-be authors or people who are writing their books now, is there any advice that you would give them?
Yes, I think give it a go. I nearly didn't pursue it. It was only because the person who I was working for and who was very encouraging almost harassed me in the nicest possible way. Have you sent it? Are you going to do it? I'm not going to shut up until you've sent your writing off because it's good, kind of thing. I think you need to believe in yourself. Give it a go. I think it's also really important when you do. So first of all, have a group of people around you who you trust and listen to them to begin with. When you're at the stage of being able to send it off to agents or to publishers, make sure it is absolutely the best product that they can, whoever's picking it up can understand it and really see it as the next book that they're going to publish. And then once you've been lucky enough and persistent enough to get that far and you're involved in your own marketing, to look at your own strengths and to really go from there. Yes, learn new skills. That's always really important. But start in your place of comfort and then branch out from that. And if necessary, ask other people to help you. So if anyone would like to take my leaflet around book clubs. And take the rough with the smooth. I mean, I had a very difficult situation last year. So I wasn't able to perform. I wasn't able to sing because I had a second bout of COVID. I'd had COVID for the first time during second lockdown. And then it came back again as spring 2022. And it kickstarted my childhood asthma. And I was in such a state, I could hardly breathe. And I had to pull out of all my singing engagements for the year. And that was quite distressing because it's, you know, I love singing. It's part of who I am. It made me feel like I was letting people down to have to pull out of gigs. But I just had to really rest and recuperate. But I used that rest time, if you like, to think more about how I was going to tackle being an author and setting up those book talks. So I think luckily the rest has done me good and the medication is working and I'm back performing again. But, you know, that was a rough time. It did hurt me to not be able to do that. And I had to dig deep and trust that I would get better. But on the other hand, it's been very useful to have had that time to position myself as the author. And maybe I wouldn't have been able to do quite as much if I'd had a busy program of engagements. So.
The Bible tells us human beings have not been good at is working for the common good. So you might want to, I don't know, I'm thinking, if you think about a story like the Tower of Babel story in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11, is it? I can't remember. But the thing about the book of the story of the Tower of Babel is we all think it's about a tower. It's not. It's actually about making ziggurats. We think it's about languages. It's not. It's about a technological innovation that happened in Babylon, where people stopped building with stones and mortar and started building with brick. And then they found that they could build bigger buildings quicker and better and what have you. And that's what it's all about, without going into too fine a point. The problem is that when you have technological advances, whether that's today or in olden times, there are some people who benefit enormously by those technological advances, and the majority of people don't. And I think what the Bible's authors would want to be saying is that technology only really works when it's to the benefit of the whole community and not just the few. And that's one of the things that human beings really haven't got their heads around. Over the many, many centuries that we've been around, people always believe in a scarce culture. They always think, I need to have more for me because one day I might not have enough. And the more I have means the less other people have. And that's what doesn't help humanity at all. And you could look at that in any of the current major political situations around the world. You could look at in communities, you could look, you know, anywhere and see that.
And where you find yourself today in Colorado, doing the work you're doing, is that, does it feel like you've chosen happy and found your calling?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm like, yeah, I think happiness is my happiness is my responsibility, you know, it's not on other people, it's mine. And so, yeah, I work hard to get here, but I'm super happy. And I think like everyone can do it. It's not something magic, you know. And seriously, it's all about you, your intuition, what you senses. You are ready. You are one amazing miracle, and you can do it wherever you want, whatever you want. So just believe. And I was living in fears and shame for so long. And I think it's also a part of my job is to share my story. And I want people to share the story. And you all of everyone, we have at least one story to write. Seriously.
The podcast is called Choosing Happy. And one of the reasons I called it that was about getting to a point in your life where you can begin to choose that passion, or it finds you. As he said, is that what you've found that it's?
Yeah, definitely. It gives me something that I can learn from a training background, as we've said earlier. I like to learn, and I didn't know what I was going to do when I retired. I had no idea whatsoever. So this was quite new, and I didn't know what medium I wanted to use. I didn't know whether I wanted to use watercolors, crayons, acrylics, whatever. Stalls, and I've tried all of them with the exception of oils because I'm impatient and I don't want the oil, you know, it takes too long for oils to dry. So I went on lots and lots of local courses, did Zoom sessions, just learning how to apply it. And the funny thing is for all those out there that do draw, because that's where I'm coming from at the moment, you know, you start with a blank piece of paper and you think, where do I start? You know, how do I know what I'm going to produce at the end because I've got a photograph or I'm looking out in the view. But where do you start? And I think it's that wow moment afterwards that you've produced something from nothing with little knowledge, and it makes you feel good. And it's not because you know, you just said earlier about the happy podcast. It does give you some form of achievement even now. So that's what I get from it every day.
So how did you get into writing a book, creating a book? Where did that come from?
Heather, it's bizarre. It started with a visit to some friends up in the Northeast, and they were telling us about their granddaughter that they look after and the daft things that they do in the holidays and when they have visits, to the point of them having a fairy tree in the garden, a little wooden door in the skirting board that the elves come out and leave chocolates for her and things like that. And they were telling us about one day she was doing a jigsaw. She got to the very end piece and it wasn't there. So she said to her grandma or her nanny, why would the elves leave the last piece out? So they said, don't know. You better write a letter to Queen Fairy. And that's where the fairy tree comes in and things like that. And Nanny actually found it in her cardigan pocket when she was about to wash it. So, yeah. So that was quite comical. So when they were telling me that story, they captivated me. I was there like a kiddie, just listening to it. And I said, right, okay, you write it. I'll illustrate it. I'll draw all the images. Right, they said. And we left the following day. So I mind my out as much as I could that I could remember what they'd said. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. I got home and it was on my mind. I went to bed that night. I couldn't sleep. The following morning, I storyboarded it. I'd never even storyboarded anything in my life. I didn't even know what a storyboard was. So you kind of, going back to something that barks something inside that you have no idea. We don't have children, so I'm not in that kind of arena. we don't have children book, so what does it look like? But I just knew I wanted to create, to adapt that little bit of pocket of information into a story. Bobbin became.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this week's episode. If you enjoyed it or think it would be valuable to others, please do share. And if you really enjoyed it, please leave me a review. It really helps the podcast. All of the links are in the show notes, and I look forward to seeing you next week on the Choosing Happy podcast.